Well, hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to probably our last study concerning resurrection. This is the second letter R in the ABCs of Christian Growth Studies, and it's study number 18A, I believe it is. Today we're going to be going into our 18th lesson concerning resurrection and resurrection alone in the Scriptures. The doctrine of resurrection, what resurrection covers as far as mankind and human beings, and what the Lord's definition of resurrection is, and what the Bible has to say about resurrection. We've been over quite a few things. Today we're going to finalize this study. It doesn't exhaust it by no means. Resurrection is something that's one of the most doctrinal things in the Scriptures, I mean, that's talked about. I mean, God is a God of life. He's not the God of death. And death means nothing to the Lord. The last enemy to be defeated, the Lord said, that's going to be defeated is death. Death is the last enemy. The Lord calls it an enemy. So the Lord is all for resurrection. He's for life. But there are certain resurrections and different points about resurrection and resurrections in the Scriptures that you don't want to be part of. And the fact of the matter is everybody's coming back to life. Going to be resurrected. It's just a matter of where you're going to be when you are resurrected and what's going to happen when you are. So we're going to get into our last study today, but I wanted to recap over the things that we've been over in this study and just talk with you a little bit and refresh your minds. I want to tell you how much I appreciate you for joining in these studies and disciplining yourself to be around God's Word and to open God's Word. I'm sorry that we're not studying face-to-face. I wish we were. I love Christian fellowship. But unfortunately, in this world today, if you have a fellowship that is indeed Christian, scriptural, Bible-believing fellowship, then you've got something. You've got something, and you hang on to it, and you cherish it, because there are many, many, many Christians in the world today that do not have anybody to fellowship with. And if they're going to walk with the Lord and walk with the testimony of Jesus and the Word of God, there's Christians all over the world that don't have anybody to fellowship with. That's one reason I think I'm glad about the way that this study is being put out there. It's online out there, Barnhouse Ministries. I don't advertise it. I don't do anything. I just put the material together. Matter of fact, it's all material where I was actually teaching in classes for about 10 years up in Pennsylvania at a troubled men's camp when I was putting all these lessons together. And for the past 7 or 8 years, I've been in solitude, by myself, and the Lord's been letting me get all this stuff together and just putting it out there for whoever needs it, whoever wants it, you know, because people aren't going to study the Word of God by accident. People are not going to get in that Bible by accident unless they're one of two things. Either they're devoted to the Lord and they're disciplining themselves and they're suffering for the testimony of Jesus and the Word of God and suffering for getting in the Word of God and learning God's Word, but they're doing it anyway, or either they're getting in there for the wrong reasons to find something out and make that book a liar and falsify it and doing it for filthy lucre. See how that thing goes? So just don't let that be you, brothers and sisters. I mean, study God's Word sincerely and want to know what God's Word is, want to understand it, want to know what the truths are, and that God would reveal those things to you and to show you and let you see and understand and to hear His Word. That's what we want. That's what we want. But here we go in this matter of resurrection. A little brief going over the entire study. First thing that we talked about was the definitions of resurrection. We went over that and we defined what resurrection means. And some peculiar things that we found out in while studying that. We found out that there are 7 resurrections that are mentioned in Scripture. Do you remember talking about that? And as we were going along, we got into the doctrine of resurrection, the actual doctrine of resurrection having to do with the Scriptures, with God's Word. Is it a doctrine? Absolutely. You better believe it is. And the doctrine of resurrection. And when we finished that, we talked about how resurrection is accomplished, and then we talked about proof of resurrection and the proof resurrection is based on. You say people rise from the dead. What proof have you got? What are you basing that on? Well, we talked about that, and we went over that. We went over and talked about resurrection's nature, what the nature of resurrection is, the spiritual nature and the physical nature of resurrection, and who's going to do the change, and all the different things having to do with the nature of resurrection. Then we talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ specific, the most important resurrection in the Scriptures. And of course, if we talked about any resurrection, that would be it right there. But we talked about it specific, the resurrection of Jesus Christ specific, leaving all other aspects of resurrection in the Scriptures, setting them aside, and we studied that alone. And then after we studied about the Lord's resurrection specific, we talked about other recorded resurrections in Scripture. The Bible has resurrections in there. The Bible's not ashamed to talk about resurrections. Resurrections are not an unnatural thing having to do with the Lord. The Lord has the power to resurrect anything He wants and to create anything He wants out of nothing. He just speaks the Word, and it is. And it is. But as far as resurrection, that's not anything that's surprising to the Lord or to the Word of God. There are other resurrections in the Scripture besides the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection specific. We talked about that. And we talked about the people that were affiliated with those resurrections and who was there and who the resurrections actually took place upon. And then we went into the portion of our study of resurrection having to do with spiritual resurrection. We talked about that, remember? And that was a good part of study. Spiritual resurrection is all New Testament, or not all New Testament, but spiritual resurrection is a New Testament doctrine. And one of the, matter of fact, it's one of the most important things having to do with you going to heaven. If you're not spiritually resurrected, then you're not saved. That's what spiritual resurrection is. It's being your spirit being brought back to life, being born again. Being born again. And then, excuse me, we talked about believers' bodies at the resurrection and went over some different aspects of the fact of resurrection concerning human bodies and what actually is going to happen and what the Bible says. The aspects and the differences and the changes and things like that are going to come about during that resurrection having to do with the bodies at the resurrection. And then we talked about a portion of resurrection, a time period of resurrection, which is called the first resurrection. We entitled it, "This is the First Resurrection." Those are actually scriptural words and a scriptural term, and it talks about, "This is the First Resurrection." Well, what is the First Resurrection? That's what we talked about. Everything having to do and everything that was affiliated in, or that is affiliated within the Scriptures having to do with "This is the First Resurrection." There is such thing as a first resurrection, and then there are other resurrections outside of the first resurrection, which we're going to talk about today, being the last resurrection, and this being the last part of our study, which comes naturally, which should come. The last should come last, right? Okay, but after that, we just finished up talking about 2 separate things under 1 category in our study of resurrection entitled "Nobody Comes Back." Nobody comes back. Nobody comes back from where? Nobody comes back from heaven. Nobody leaves and goes to heaven and comes back. having to do with the resurrection. And why are we even talking about it? Because there are liars in the world that say that they've been to heaven and back. And there are liars in the world that are saying that they've been to hell and back. No, they haven't. No, they haven't. The Bible teaches that nobody does that. If you leave, you're gone, man. You're gone. You're either gone to heaven or you're gone to hell, and you're there to stay until the next thing in God's plan comes about. All right. Well, finishing up all of that, that's recapping our entire study. Today we're going into something that is entitled Final Resurrection and the Great White Throne. Post-millennial. It's after the 1,000-year reign. Okay, the resurrection, the last resurrection before the millennium is at the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about that. When the Lord is going to raise up, it's the gleanings, the actual resurrection of all the finished part of the first resurrection are going to come up. And then the Lord's going to set up his kingdom. He's going to rule and reign physically on a physical throne, on physical property, in physical Jerusalem, and with a monarchy. Kingship. He's going to be the king of the earth and rule and reign all nations with a rod of iron. All right. And after that 1,000-year reign, the devil's going to be loosed for a little while. And after all that takes place, there's going to be another resurrection after the Lord takes care of the devil for good. And this is right around the same time period, but it's after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. This here is going to take place. It's called the Final Resurrection, the Great White Throne Judgment. All right, and we can find that in the scriptures in Revelation chapter 20, which I'm fixing to read to you, chapter 10 through 15. Listen to this. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The devil doesn't get annihilated. The beast doesn't get annihilated. The false prophet doesn't get annihilated. They are burning now and will burn. They are burning. They will burn, and they will burn forever in the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. Nobody gets annihilated. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. Somewhere. Don't let nobody trick you on that. There's no such thing as all this stupid religion out there about somebody, well, when you're gone, you're gone, it's all over, and you don't have any feelings, and you don't know anything, and you're not conscious of anything. That is anti-scriptural as ever can be. Yes, you will. You're going to know something, and you're going to be somewhere, and you're going to know you there. And you better be finding out where that place is forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. No more heaven, no more earth. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead, notice how it's using the word dead, and I saw the dead, not the living, the dead, not the saved, the dead, not the Old Testament saints, the dead, not the first resurrection, the dead, not the bride of Christ, the dead, not the gleanings, the saints of the tribulation period, the dead. You get that? And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Now, this is all of the wicked men down throughout history that have not been that were not resurrected. No man gets resurrected, not any man, any wicked man. The wicked man, any wicked man, will not come up during the period of the first resurrection, from the first resurrection forward in the past, or, excuse me, not forward, but in the past, the first resurrection behind the first resurrection, everything behind that, a wicked man doesn't come up. It's only the righteous. It's only the saved. It's only the saints. Okay, but during this resurrection, the wicked man comes up. And the wicked man doesn't get to see the kingdom. He doesn't get to see the 1,000-year reign. He doesn't get to see all these things. He comes up at this resurrection, and this is after the 1,000-year reign, okay? And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Remember when we was talking about the resurrection? This is the first resurrection, and then the rest of the scripture said, in which the second death hath no power. Remember that? The first resurrection is all the saints. The three parts of the first resurrection, remember? The gleanings, the harvest, and the first fruits, all of those are all the saints that come up, in which the second death, which is what we're talking about right now, has no power over. You see that? Now let me read it to you again. Get this. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. In parentheses, in which that has no power over the first resurrection. Remember that? So there's a big difference of when you're resurrected. If you're resurrected during the first resurrection, this is the first resurrection time period. If you're resurrected during that time period, this right here, what we're talking about today, has nothing, no power over you at all. The second death, this judgment at the white throne, which the dead come up before, has no power over you. It's not going to affect you. You're not going to hell. You're not going to the lake of fire. You're not standing before this judgment. You've already been before a judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, or the judgment of the nations, or whatever judgment you stood during the first resurrection. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that's that. Final resurrection, the great white throne, post-millennial resurrection. This is the last resurrection. This is the resurrection that all the Old Testament people in the Old Testament, and even when Jesus was here and walking around and everybody was still under the Old Testament, and the book of Acts was just beginning to transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament doctrine, and from works to grace, from faith and works to grace all alone, to faith alone in the New Testament, the Pauline doctrine, which we're under right now, and how we're saved, All of this was going on. Okay, so the final, I forgot what I was going to say. All right, anyway, so the final resurrection, the great white throne, the post-millennium resurrection, this is it. This is the one that everybody referred to as the general resurrection, where all the good and all the bad people come up, and if you're good, you're good, and if you're bad, you're bad, and all this. This was the general thought of a general resurrection that everybody was going to come. Well, according to the scriptures in some places, there's going to be just and the unjust that are going to come before this resurrection, but it's not going to have anything to do with anybody that was during the, during the first resurrection. If you have been resurrected during the first resurrection, you have absolutely nothing to do with this resurrection. You have gone through the millennium, you've been with Christ, you're serving Him, you're in love with the Lord, we have the New Jerusalem, and all of these things. And then this resurrection comes up. But this is a resurrection to deal mainly with the dead. That's what we're talking about. With the dead. And what does the dead mean? Not alive unto Christ. Not alive as far as spiritually alive. They're dead. They're dead in Christ. They died without Christ. They died under God's wrath. They're damned. They're going to the lake of fire. All right? And that's not the part that you want. This is a resurrection that you do not want to come up. And if you're listening to this and you're unsaved, you better get in that book and you better find out what Christ has done for you, and you better believe on Christ and call upon His name to save you and get saved. Yeah. The final resurrection and the great white throne judgment. Okay, now, what are some facts concerning this resurrection? Well, the first thing is that it was prophesied. It's not something new. It's something that's been talked about for a long, long time. In the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." It's been prophesied. It's been talked about. It's no secret. It's no secret. What else is a fact concerning this resurrection, the great white throne judgment? Well, it's a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Now, when I first started studying this, I thought it was just for the damned. I thought it was just for the unsaved people, all the people that rejected Christ, all the haters of God, all of God's enemies, all the people that, all mercy and all of this is out the door when you hit this judgment and you've hated God all your existence and you get to this judgment, you're going to get your just rewards. You're going to get your fruits from that. Okay, and this is where you're going to meet God and meet your Maker and prepare to meet God, because this is it. Okay, and no more talking about getting saved, the blood of Christ, or this, or that, and the other. No more of that. This is where it's going to be settled and done and over with, and in the lake of fire you go. Okay, but there's going to be, according to the Bible and reading the scriptures, there are going to be some just people that are in God's favor, that are saved, and I don't know exactly, I've not seen the whole thing, but I see, studying under my mentor, that it's so. That's all I can tell you, is that it's so. But this is mainly a judgment of the damned, of the dead, okay? All right, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, but also at this judgment, somehow, some way, there's going to be a part of this judgment that is having to do with just people. Okay, and I'll read that to you. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 47 through 50, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away." So shall it be in the end of the world. This is that time period that we're talking about. This is the time of the end of the world. It said the heaven and earth, there was no place found for them. They fled away from the white throne. There's not no heaven and earth to stand on. You're standing there in front of a throne out in the middle of somewhere out in space where God is. Okay? All right? It says, gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You see, during the millennium, good people and bad people are always going to be all the way up to this white throne judgment. I mean, there are people going to be have. God is so merciful that He gives people opportunity all the way to the end, man, to choose Him and to choose just and not wickedness and not be wicked and to be a just person and to be just in God's eyes. And He gives everybody opportunity, even during the millennium. But when it gets to this point right here, the white throne judgment. After the white throne judgment, there are no other judgments. Everything's taken care of at that point right there, according to the scriptures. There is nothing else after the white throne judgment that the Bible talks about. It talks about Christ going back into the Godhead and talking about all in all being taken care of. And it's finished. It's done. You see? All right, so it does talk. It says, and so shall it be in the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them, who? The dead, the wicked, into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. All right, so a fact about this resurrection, the great white throne resurrection, is it's been prophesied. It's no secret. It's coming. Even Mary talked about it when Jesus was here, but she didn't know what the Lord was talking about when He said, I am the resurrection, until later on. Okay? But she thought He was talking about the resurrection, this resurrection right here. People are going to come up, good and bad, going to go this way, go that way. All right? Another fact about it is a resurrection of the just and the unjust. In Luke chapter 14, verse 14, the Bible says, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Okay? All right? So this resurrection right here, there's going to be just people at this resurrection, and they're going to be recompensed. Okay, but that's all it talks about. But this is generally and known as the Great White Throne Judgment, and it is a judgment of justice for the damned, the dead that are going to come. But there will be. I'm just bringing to a fact and bringing to a head, so you know that. This is not only for the damned, even though it is generally for the damned, corporately for the damned. But there's going to be some other kind of judgment going on there for the just also. But our judgment, me and you, right now, being born again in this time period of the Pauline gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, all of our judgment's over with. We're serving the Lord at this time. We're just with the Lord. We've been 1,000 years with Him, ruling and reigning on the earth, and we're going to be with Him forever and ever. We're not coming to no judgment. Our judgment's all judgments behind us. We've been glorified. We're immortal. We're in our celestial bodies. We're in perfect bodies and perfect minds like Christ. We don't have anything to do with this wicked sin judgment. Sin is gone from us. We don't have to deal with sin anymore. Isn't that wonderful? What a thought. What a thought. So, you see, the great white throne judgment. Now, let me read you something else. John chapter 5, verse 25 through 29. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, get that, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Son hath life in himself, so hath he given for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And this is a resurrection of damnation. Even though there will be some other kind of judgments going on at this white throne judgment, the main issue at this judgment is that the books are opened. And another book is open. There's a set of books, plural, that are open. And in them books are all the works of all the damned people and what they did that was against God, written down and recorded. Over in this other book, it's called the book, is singular, the book of life, are the names of all the people that live, that are not damned. And if your name's not written in that book, whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But the judgment is coming out of all of those books. They're going to call somebody up there. They're going to look for their name in the book of life. It's not there. Going to look in the books and get their name there and see all of the violations where they violated against God and hated God and cursed God and lied and stole and all the other, and just anything and everything, all their works. The resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Okay, so we see some facts concerning this resurrection, the great white throne resurrection, the final resurrection. It's been prophesied. It's a resurrection of the just and the unjust. And let me read you one more. I just read you John chapter 5, 25 through 29. Here's one. Acts chapter 24, verse 14 through 15. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. This is Brother Paul talking. Believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, that's the Old Testament, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow. He's comparing himself to the Jewish accusers, the religious Jews that are following him around trying to get him executed and trying to get him in trouble in the courts. And Paul's talking in this courtroom, and he's saying, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both the just and unjust. You see? There it is. Okay, so it's been prophesied, this resurrection, and it is a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Okay, now, this resurrection, another fact about this resurrection is that it is indeed a resurrection for judgment. For judgment. There's no fooling around, fumbling around, and all this court business, this hocus-pocus kangaroo court that goes on among men and stuff like that, and just change things around as you see fit, and blah-bitty-blah-bitty-blah. No, you're talking about God's courtroom. This is God's courtroom, and it is for judgment, and it's a great white throne, and it's the judgment, the great day of his judgment has come, the Bible says. In Job chapter 21, listen to this, and verse 30. that the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction, that they be brought forth to the day of wrath. It's a day for judgment. The wicked that are dead, the dead that are dead, man, they better rest all they can, because, man, what's coming for them? Woe unto them. Don't you die unsaved. Don't you die unsaved. Right now is the easiest time in all creation to get saved. And the easiest way to get saved. All you have to do is believe on the Son of God and ask, call upon His name to save you. And believe that Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected on purpose and done it for you to save you. And accept His righteousness, put His blood on your account, and you back off and say, I'm guilty, and say, Lord, save me. And the Lord said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise to you. And if you deny that and you die unsaved and you go into your grave and you die without Christ, you are considered the dead. And when you get resurrected, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. The wicked is reserved to the day of destruction, Job said. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. That's what this judgment is about. This white throne judgment. It is a day of God's wrath. The second coming is the day of Christ, the Son of God's wrath. The wrath of God, the Lamb. Okay, this right here is the day of wrath. This is the judgment seat of the wrath of God upon the dead, upon the unsaved, upon the Christ rejectors and God haters, and all the men of this world that have mocked God and cussed God and said vile things against Him. It's all written down in those books. It's all taken, God takes good notes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 17 says, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, the Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Just depends on which judgment seat you're going to land at, brother or sister or unsaved person. If you're unsaved, you're in danger of being landed at this judgment, and you do not want to appear at this judgment because it's over for you. All you're going to face from this, when God wakes you up and you come before this throne, you're going to be scared to death. And you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Now, we're talking about some facts. Facts concerning this resurrection. What resurrection? The final resurrection. The great white throne. That's what our study's about. Resurrection. And this is the last part of it. When we talk about resurrection in the Scripture, this settles the whole scenario of resurrection. Resurrection is over with after this final resurrection here. This is post-millennial, after the thousand-year reign of Christ, and it was prophesied. Some facts about it, the facts that we're talking about is that it is the resurrection of the just and the unjust, and it is for judgment. And another fact about this resurrection is it is the resurrection of the last day. Now, that's what Mary was talking about, remember? I know there's going to be a resurrection of the last day. That's what she was talking about. And she didn't know anything about, she was talking to Jesus, but she didn't know anything about what Jesus was doing right then, that he was going to die for the sins of the world. And then after that, the gospel of the grace of God, the Pauline, your New Testament gospel of faith alone was going to come into power. And that's what we are saved by. It's by faith alone. Faith in what God has said. That Jesus died, was buried, and rose 3 days later. And if you'll believe on that, God will save you, forgive your sins, take them away, and give you a home in heaven. And you won't have to worry about this resurrection here at all. You're going to go before the judgment seat of Christ as a son of God and be judged for the works that you did in your body after you were saved and you accepted Christ. Completely different scenario altogether. Altogether. There's a difference in going into a courtroom to hear a will and who's going to get what than going into a courtroom to be sentenced for the death penalty. Whole different scenario. And those two judgments are that different. Okay? It's the resurrection of the last day. The resurrection of the last day. When the Bible talks about the resurrection of the last day, this is the judgment that it's talking about, the great white throne. John chapter 6, the Bible talks about in verse 35 through 44, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father give me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto him, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I will raise him up at the last day. Now, of course, he's talking about salvation as it was right then before he was crucified and before he made the blood atonement. We are raised up, we that have been born again and are trusting in Christ's blood, we're raised up way before this judgment here. All right? And then there's another scripture here. John chapter 11, verse 24 and 25 says, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. This is what I was telling you about a while ago. She's talking about this resurrection. Everybody in the Old Testament knows there's going to be a resurrection, knew that there was going to be a resurrection. But they're talking about a general resurrection of the last day. That's this resurrection right here, what we're talking about today, the white throne judgment. But there's things changed when Jesus died and when he made the blood atonement. Now, everybody is either in the first resurrection of the saved and the just, or either you're in the resurrection of the dead, and somehow I don't know all the details about that, but there are just people that are also going to come up during that. You heard Jesus say that himself, I raise him up in the last day. I don't know who they are. Jesus knows who they are. There were some that came up in Jesus' resurrection and some that stayed in the ground. God knows all these things. But there are some truths, some main doctrinal truths of resurrection, of when and who's going to come up at those resurrections, and we've been over them. We're not going to confuse things, but at this resurrection, there will be some just that come up. But I don't know who they are and know where they come from or what the Lord's talking about, except that he mentioned it right right here in these scriptures that we're talking about now. Now, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day, talking about her brother Lazarus. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. You see, the New Testament hadn't been established yet, and Jesus hadn't died yet. He was still walking around doing his ministry and healing people and preaching and teaching. And when he was talking to her, she didn't know anything about Jesus' bloodshed and Jesus' atonement and all these things. All this stuff was fresh and just starting to teeter-totter, seesaw, from the Old Testament law and the Old Testament way of salvation to the New Testament way of salvation. And she didn't know anything about this. The only thing she knew about was the resurrection in the last day. Martha said, I know that it shall be that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saying unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You see, New Testament Christians, after Jesus' resurrection, once you believe on Christ, you are resurrected right there at that point spiritually. You're brought back to life spiritually and eternally. You are a everlasting, even though you're walking around in the body, you are an everlasting, never going to die creature. If you're saved right now listening to me, you are eternal. Your spirit is going to be alive forever. You've been awakened. You've been quickened, made alive. You've been resurrected where you were dead before, spiritually dead. But you've been resurrected. Only thing left to do is for the Lord to give you a body to match it and take you on to be with him. You're already been resurrected and made. You don't have to be resurrected again. Your body's going to be changed, or it's going to come out of the ground and be resurrected and given back to you. But as far as you're already resurrected. You see that? A lot of variables in this thing, and you got to rightly divide the word of truth, the word of God. You see, and that's where people get messed up when it comes to this resurrection business. Well, what about this? Well, what about this? Well, you got to rightly divide it. You got to go through it like what we're doing and go through the whole study of resurrection and see all the different things that have happened. Jesus, how was resurrection in the Old Testament before Jesus came? It was different. All right, what about when Jesus came and he made the blood atonement? Did resurrection change things? Yes, it did. Well, what about resurrection in the future after we're supposed to already be saved and already be? Well, that's different too. You see, you got to study it all. You got to rightly divide it, not wrongly divide it. You see that thing? All right. Martha said unto him, I've been trying to read this to you. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You get born again, you live right away. Your body doesn't change, but you are alive right away, immediately, born again, instantly, instantaneously. And your name's written in heaven, and your judgment is over with. Everything about you that was against God has been placed on Jesus Christ. There's no more anything between you and the Father, except that you are born and adopted into his family and you are his son now. You see, your family now. All right? What else? What are we talking about? We're talking about the final resurrection, the great white throne, the last judgment, post-millennial resurrection. All right? Some facts about it was that it's been prophesied. It's not old news. The Lord talked about it. The Old Testament talks about it. The prophets talk about it. All right? It is a resurrection of the just and the unjust. It is for judgment. It is for judgment. It is the last resurrection. It is the resurrection of the last day. of the last day. All right, Martha was talking about that resurrection, but she didn't know anything about Jesus being a resurrection or Jesus and what he had planned and what the Father had planned and all what was fixing to come into play. She didn't know anything about that. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, the Bible says, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." That's the judgment we're talking about right now. That's what we're talking about right now. Jesus said, everything I'm telling you and preaching to you right now, he said, you don't get saved and you reject me and receive not my words. Now he said in another place, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall never come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Here he says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word, that Bible, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Remember the books that are going to be open? And finally, one last verse. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Yes, shall he live. The resurrection. This is the last resurrection. Not a whole lot to talk about concerning this resurrection. There's not a lot that's going to, there's not a lot of a whole bunch of talking. You're not a lot of appeals. You don't get to have 10 years of instant repeal appeals when you're put on the death row. When you're on death row with God, you're on death row, man. And when you get pulled up out of that grave, You're headed to where you're going. You're going through that great white judgment and right into the lake of fire. And I hope that's not you, friend. I hope that's not you. We've been talking a whole bunch about resurrection. And you see that God is for life. God's bringing everybody back. But some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt and death in the lake of fire. You're not going to be annihilated. You're going to know everything that's going on in that lake of fire. Ask the rich man. Remember we talked about him? Everybody talking about that they've been to hell and back. You think there's somebody that's going to just stand before this great white throne judgment and God's going to be bringing dead people back to life? And all these clowns walking around talking about I went to hell and came back? What a stupid thing to say, man. What a foolish thing to tell people. You think that you're going to mock God like that? And you're going to get away with that? And you're talking about a God that controls people that are dead in the ground and bringing their bodies back to life and giving it to them and having them stand before him in judgment to condemnation to be cast in the lake of fire? You think that's a joke with the Lord? You telling everybody on this earth that you've been to hell and you've been to heaven and back and blobbity blobbity blab blab blab? You better repent and tell God you're sorry and straighten that mess up. And if you're not saved, you better get saved. Quit playing around. Ask the Lord to save you. All you got to do is just tell God that you believe what the Bible says. Brother Thurman's told me about the death, burial, and resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ, and I didn't get to see Jesus Christ. I've never seen him. I don't know what he looks like. I've never been to heaven. I've never been to hell, but I believe what your word says. And according to everything that you said, Lord, I'm asking you to come into my heart and save me. And save me by what Jesus done and his sacrifice, his death, burial, and resurrection. I believe, Lord. Would you save me? And he'll save you instantaneously, just like he said. That's how I got saved. That's how everybody's listening to this got saved. And that's how anybody is going to get saved in this time that we're living in right now. Now, if you wait until the rapture's over with, things are going to change. Don't let that happen to you. You don't have to worry about this judgment right here. That we're talking about, this final resurrection and great white throne judgment has absolutely nothing to do with you if you are saved. With the exception that I don't know if we're going to be there. I don't know. I don't know what the Bible says about that, whether we're going to be there or whether we're not going to be there. I don't think there's anything to look forward to watching. I mean, I'm on God's side. Whatever he says is true and right. But watching people stand before him, I mean, there's going to be people spitting at God at this, and God haters that are spitting at God while he's binding them hand and feet and cast them into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And these people, some of them going to be there and some of them going to be screaming for mercy. You just don't know what's going to happen before this. This is a bad, bad, bad judgment. This is God's wrath. No mercy. Now, there's going to be just people that are going to come there, but that's a whole different thing, man. That's a whole different thing. But the dead, when they come there, as far as us being in this judgment, I don't know if we are or not. I haven't got that. I don't know. I just don't know. And I just don't see, if we have to be there, then so be it. But I mean, if we got to stand there and watch, I mean, all we can do is praise God for his justice. I mean, you had your chance, and God gave you way more. How many chances did God give you? He's giving you one right this very second. How many chances did God give you before he saved you? He's a merciful God, isn't he? So if you stand before him at this judgment, you're guilty, you deserve what you're getting, and you're going to get it. But you don't have to. Right now, just bow your head and ask the Lord to save you. Oh, with all that I know, Lord, I believe you died for me. I believe what your book says, that you died, that you were buried, and 3 days later you resurrected and you paid the penalty for my sins. And I am a sinner, Lord, and I don't want to be a sinner anymore. I want your blood atonement applied to me, and I want your righteousness applied to me and for you to pay for my sin debt in front of the Father. I want your sacrifice to pay for my sin debt, not me, Lord. And he'll save you. He'll save you. That's what the Bible says, friend. People can make up all the stories and the big fairy tales and all the blobbity blob and nirvana and purgatory and all these stupid things that go on that have nothing to do with God saving man. It's man saving man. And man can't save man. You know that. So Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This concludes our study on resurrection. Brothers and sisters, thank you for honoring the Lord by studying his wonderful, wonderful word. The Lord bless you for your labor, and be assured it's not in vain, the scripture says. When you study, God's not going to let you studying is not going to be in vain. You're going to profit from it. You're going to profit. Don't ever quit. Don't ever, ever quit. Praise his wonderful name all the way to the end. He is risen. He is risen. The Lord is alive. He's not dead. He was dead, and then he's alive again. And he's alive for us, and he's up at the right hand of God the Father, and he's interceding for us, and he's coming back to get us real soon. We've been studying about resurrection. Let me give you these scriptures and we'll close out this study. And I don't know where you're going to be falling in this study, but there are more than one letter in each, like A, B, C, D, E. Besides the regular alphabet of our study, A through Z, there have been other studies inserted like this one, resurrection, which is the second study in the letter R. And when I say, I'll see you, I'll talk to you on the next study, like QRS, like S is the next one. If it doesn't happen to be S and it happens to be another R inserted in there, just forgive me for that. I mean, things have been a lot more confusing reason than that before somewhere else. That's not confusion. That's just progression of the studies and the scriptures. Okay, whatever. But just forgive me for saying something that's not exactly so. I'll see you in the letter S or something like that, you know, and we'll study the letter S together. But it happens to be another R come in there. Forgive me, and let's just go on believing. Amen. All right, here's your scriptures for today and for this last lesson in the letter R for resurrection. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 through 15. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Matthew chapter 13, verse 47 through 50. Luke chapter 14, verse 14. John chapter 5, verse 25 through 29. Acts chapter 24, verse 14 through 15. Job chapter 21, verse 30. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 17. Again, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 through 14. And then John chapter 6, verse 35 through 44. John chapter 11, verse 24 through 25. John chapter 12, verse 48. And the last verse for our study of resurrection is John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Our study of resurrection. Did you learn anything? Well, I know you did. I did. I learn every time I go through that. Every time. And I love being reminded of what our Bible says about resurrection. A whole lot to it, isn't there? Whole lot to it. We haven't exhausted it by no means. I mean, resurrection is something that only the Lord knows by definition. I mean, really, really, what in depth what resurrection is. He's the one that has the power of life and death. Praise the Lord that we have a God that is able and willing to resurrect his creatures and go through all he went through just so that we can live and be with him and enjoy him and serve and just spend eternity with him. That he didn't throw us away. He kept us. And he gives you opportunity by your own free agent, your own free will. Your will as a free agent gives you opportunity to choose whether to be with him or not. Isn't he wonderful? I hope that you'll make that choice today if you're unsaved or you're not sure, that you'll ask the Lord to save you and you'll nail that thing down. And if you are saved and you've been listening to these recordings and studying along with us, God bless you. I admire you for disciplining yourself. I know you do it on purpose and that you fight to do it. Continue to do that, brothers and sisters. I love you with Christ's love. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. And I'll talk to you either on another R that's being inserted, or we're going to move right on into the letter S and see what kind of truths that we can learn out of our God's Word concerning the letter S. I love you with Christ's love. Have a wonderful evening. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.